All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Posio's Picks. It's good to be back. I got Parker here with me, recurring guest Parker. Welcome. And we are here to talk about the college football playoff and all of these games. So I'm super excited. Parker, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Theo. Appreciate it.
Feels good to be back, man.
I can't wait to watch and talk about these football games. The college football playoff, 12 teams now this year.
That's right.
So it's going to be a lot of chaos, and I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. Going to be great. So we're just going to go through the first round games, talk about the spreads and all that, obviously. And then after that, you know, we'll work into the rest of our bracket. I'm sure there'll be some differences somewhere, so we'll just go through that. So we're just going to start in order here. First game, Friday night, we got Notre Dame taking on Indiana at Notre Dame, obviously the higher-ranked team. 7.5-point spread for the Irish. This game's been tough for me. I'll be the first one to admit I keep going back and forth with this spread. But I'm curious to hear what you think, Parker. I'm curious to hear what you think first, and then I'm probably going to go off of that a little bit.
So the biggest thing in this game off the top of my head is the forecast. A lot of snow is projected. I think it was like 65% chance of precipitation. It's going to start snowing tomorrow morning and then throughout the day. So a lot of snow in South Bend. I do think there's probably going to be a lot of IU fans there in state rivalry. I know they both don't really like each other. They're going to try and get as many tickets as possible to the IU fans and make their trip up there and make some noise in South Bend. I think this is going to be a slugfest, if I'm being honest. I'm going to be straight up and say take the under here for this game.
Total 51.5, too. We didn't mention that.
Yeah, I'm taking the under in this game 100%. The reason why I say that is you've got two really good defensive fronts that are very aggressive, and they want to stop the run, and that's what their priority is going to be. As we all know, Notre Dame has been has prioritized the run this year. They're a run-first team. I want to say they're a top-10 team in the country in running the football. They love to run the ball ground and pound, and that's what IU's going to try and do. In the first couple, quarters of the game, is stop the run and try and get Curtis Rourke in some obvious passing situations on third and longs.
Yeah.
That's going to be big for IU, and especially IU in those, I guess, two games where they didn't play cupcakes, Michigan and Ohio State, who both have very good defenses. They didn't score the ball a lot.
They didn't look great.
They weren't able to move the ball a lot on offense and first and second down runs, and they were able to get Curtis Rourke in third down passing situations, and they were able to get home on him on blitz, not even on blitzes, like on just like standard four, men pass rushes. So that's going to be big. Can Curtis Rourke have enough time to throw the football, because Notre Dame's going to stock up on defense? And then the flip side of it, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, IU wants to run the football. They got a great two-back system, and Notre Dame's going to try and stop them and get Riley Leonard, who hasn't really been able or hasn't had like any opportunities to throw the football in big games yet. I mean, he hasn't had the chance to. Now he's going to have to, too. So I don't know. I think I'm kind of leaning towards ND here. I was going back and forth on it, but I think I'm more confident now just because it's a home game, and I trust Notre Dame's defense a lot more. They're really good. I think allowed over 16 points twice this entire year. So I'm going to go with the more experienced defense and the more experienced quarterback, which is Notre Dame.
Okay. So. All right. I don't hate that, and that's a big reason that I've been going back and forth is, like, I don't know if I can trust Riley Leonard, because, like, they haven't really played anybody. They've played a couple, games. I know that week one or week zero against Texas A&M? I mean, Riley Leonard threw for, like, 150 yards. So I don't know if I can trust him throwing the ball, but in terms of, like, up front with this weather, Notre Dame's got the advantage there. So I think I'm leaning Notre Dame too, but if Rourke gets hot, it's going to be really interesting, I think.
Yeah, and I'll also say too, I'm going with Jeremiah Love, the running back too. He is such a good back, and I think he'll make a couple big runs late to maybe ice the game. And because, like I said, they're just going to try and run the ball as much as they could. They're going to tire that IU defense out. So like I said, I'm going to lean Notre Dame. I personally wouldn't take this -7.5.
Yeah.
Lean them, but I'm definitely taking the under for sure.
I think the under, out of all the plays in this game, I think the under is the best play. I agree. With the weather and how these teams are going to play, this is the thing too with these 12-team playoff games is, like, they're going to take some time to feel each other out. You know, they don't have to go on the gas right away. Obviously, two teams that are, not really familiar with each other, but in-state, They know the strengths of each other. So it's going to be interesting. I really like the under as the best play. I really don't see this being like a shootout type.
No.
Like Rourke's good, and he's had an unbelievable season. But like you said, when they've played some really good defenses, it hasn't been easy at all.
No, and the weather's a big thing. I mean, there's no way I can see these two quarterbacks airing it out with this much snow on the ground.
Yeah, and you know, like Indiana, they did put up a lot of points, but those are on just some horrible teams, Michigan State included, but we're not going to go there. We're just going to mention that and move on. But I like the under as the best play here, and I agree with you. I am leading Notre Dame, but I don't think I'm going to take the spread.
Like that.
Yeah, gonna be a really interesting one though. Friday primetime. That's gonna be a great game to kind of kick off the playoff. Another one that I'm very interested to hear your opinion in, because this is your squad. You've been riding with them all year. We're gonna move on to Saturday here. SMU going to Happy Valley to play Penn State. Penn State are currently 8.5-point favorites. The total is 53.5. I'll start here, Parker. I know SMU. That's your squad, and they've been impressive. They can move the ball. I think Penn State might win by a couple scores here. I really do. Drew Aller, I don't love him, but I mean he's been a lot better this year. There's obviously been some weird stuff with Penn State. The backup enters the portal before this game even happens, and you know he's used in the offense. That's really interesting. But again, I know it's Franklin. I know it's a big game, but it's at home. It's a whiteout. Even though it's not a true whiteout because it's at noon, but I like Penn State here, Parker. I think that's the best play in this one, my opinion.
I respect that a lot. So this is also gonna be another cold weather game. It's projected to be low 40s, low 40s, early 30s. Light chance of rain, so I don't think weather is going to be too much of a factor. Like you mentioned, no whiteout, you know, really a whiteout.
Yeah, it's not the same.
New kickoffs here don't really do a difference as much as Joe Klatt wants, you know, it, to make it seem. I'll give you some stats here in a rundown. Believe it or not, I found this out today. SMU is like a bottom 10 team in the country in giving up passing yards to tight ends on the season. That does not bode well for arguably the best tight end in the country, Tyler Warren, who is a Swiss Army knife do-it-all guy. So that doesn't bode well for them at all. Singleton and Allen ran for over 200-plus yards against Oregon, who has a very good front in the Big Ten championship game. They gashed them a couple weeks ago. So
they looked really good in that game. They did. I was impressed.
They really impressed me a lot on offense. That does not bode well for an SMU defense that – who their defensive line does get a lot of pressure on the quarterback, doesn't really line up and play well on the defense and stopping the run. They played a lot of cupcake teams this year. That teams have not been great offensively when they have, i.e. Clemson, they've given up a lot of points. So that doesn't have a good sign right there. A lot of tight end play actions and a lot of Singleton Allen rushing games. So it's going to be kind of nice for Drew Aller in that aspect. On the flip side of the ball, This is where I'm really interested to see, because my guy, Kevin Jennings.
That's your guy.
I love him so much, man. He's probably a top three quarterback, I would say, in the playoff this year. He is so fast.
Talent-wise, I agree with you.
He is so fast. He reminds me of like a Lamar Jackson. Yeah. Not with the ability to throw the ball downfield as well, but he is so quick and elusive outside of the pocket. He can make really quick decisions, and he's so tough to guard just kind of on the fly. So he's a real problem to scheme against, right? But with that being said, he scrambles a lot because the O-line doesn't protect him that well. So we know PSU's D-line is really good.
Very good.
I know they struggled a lot versus Oregon, but again, that's Oregon, and they can really air it out on you. So that wasn't really a great, I guess, you know, fit and, you know, I guess a good test. But one thing that I am worried about is Brayshon Allen, who's a very good running back for SMU. He is a very good runner, but PSU is just going to load the box out.
Yep.
They're just going to stuff the run. They're going to make Jennings throw the ball. So I think the big key to this game is SMU has had 27 turnovers this year. That's way too much.
Yeah.
And it's really shown in the big games. They turned it over 3 times against BYU and lost. Turned it over 6 times against Duke, squeaked out a win in that one. Turned it over 4 times against Clemson, had to come all the way back and lose. So that's going to be the key for me in this game. But I got to go with my guys. I know
that's fair, Parker. It's fair. You've been with them all year.
All signs point to Penn State and even taking the points 8.5. I'm going to at least take SMU plus 8.5. I want to take a money line. In my heart, I am, but I don't have the heart to do it. I'll be rooting my ass off for them. Mm-hmm. And with the over-under, which I think was 53.5,
yep.
I'm taking the over. I think this is going to be a lot of points scored in this game. I think it could be kind of similar to Clemson SMU last week, where Penn State might get out to a big lead early, and then SMU comes back a little bit to kind of cover that spread, and then potentially win, hopefully, for my sake. But I'm rooting for my guys at SMU, but I'm going to take SMU plus 8.5 in the over.
So. Are you worried about Carter and the front for Penn State? Because I think that's really the big difference. Like, if he can get home consistently, which I think he's going to be able to,
yeah,
I think it's going to create a lot of problems.
That's a problem. He's arguably the best DN in the country, yeah. And when he's able to contain, it's really tough. I just think that Jennings is so elusive.
He is.
He's going to be a problem for Abdul. But I mean, if he gets any contained, yeah, it's not gonna be well. They're not going to be able to move the ball well.
Yeah, I just think, like, kind of different from last game, you're going to have, like, the mixed fans in IU Notre Dame, and, you know, that's going to help IU a lot going there. I don't really see, you know, SMU traveling that well to Happy Valley. I know they're going to be there. This is the playoff, and we haven't seen these, you know, home environments in the playoff like this, but I think it's going to be a problem. I mean, you're going to have over 100,000 strong Penn State white out. I think that's – it's going to be an issue. That's what I think.
I understand completely, but again, like you said earlier, I can't trusting James Franklin on a big game.
I know.
It's really hard to do. And I will say, on top of this, if you really think about it, what good offenses did Penn State play this year? I mean, I wouldn't really. Ohio State's honestly, they're a decent offense. We'll get into them, you know, yeah. Next. But their only offense that they played that was really good was Oregon, and they gave up almost dang near 50.
Yeah, no, Oregon did whatever they wanted, and Penn State was doing pretty much what they wanted to.
Yeah,
but I mean, Oregon was, Gabriel and they were just picking them apart. It was easy.
So that's why I think SMU does have a good chance they could put some points up in this game.
I wanted to ask you, and I'm sure he is, but the wide receiver, he's playing.
He is playing.
Okay.
Yeah, he is playing. That's big, because if they didn't have him, that was going to be kind of okay. Well, they might try and scheme up their tight end.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a lot of action. Their main tight end, number 9, he got hurt earlier in the year. He was like their best playmaker. So he is playing, thankfully. But yeah, that's a little bit something to look at throughout the game. Is if he gets like hit hard on like a knee tackle or like a leg tackle, mm-hmm. you know, that might, you know, bang him up a little bit. So I'm thank you for bringing that up, because I know that's something big. If they don't,
and then that was big. That was big in the Clemson game.
He showed out a big time.
Yeah.
So he did. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but he is playing. So that's big for us.
Okay.
Offense.
All right. I mean, all these games are going to be awesome. I mean, I can't wait. There's a lot of moving parts. Even though these spreads aren't particularly close, like they're all around a touchdown, I think all these games can really go either way. It's just going to be who gets hot. You know, who has their stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why I like Penn State. I just think it's easier for them. I think it's easier for Penn State to play the style that they want to play in this game.
Sure.
Than SMU to play the style that they want.
I totally agree with you. I get that. So.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to the next one. This one's interesting, too. One of your former teams. You're an alumnus for 1 year. Clemson going to Texas to play the Longhorns. Texas, obviously, you know, was the consensus number one team in the country at points. I mean, their two losses are against Georgia, which that SEC championship game, I mean, interesting. Beck goes down. Texas can't get it done. Quinn Ewers and Manning, that's obviously a story as well. But Clemson got it done when they needed to in the ACC championship. They almost gave that game away, but did what they had to do. But I'll start with you here, Parker. Oh, spread is 12, and the total's 51.5 here.
Yeah, this spread is just a stay away.
A lot of points.
No way I can bet either side for this spread.
Mm-hmm.
The over-under is a little interesting, too, because I think both defenses are very good in certain ways,
mm-hmm.
and I could see this kind of being under. And I'll go through each side of the ball. Texas really disappointed me last 2 weeks against Georgia. I thought they were going to come out with a much better game plan after their disappointing loss to Georgia earlier in the year. Quinn Ewers, I don't know about you, Theo, but he just does not look like the same Quinn Ewers as I saw against Michigan this year.
I agree. And that's, you know, that I think that has to do with, you know, things of like Michigan wasn't as good as we thought they were going to be. But, I mean, that defense then was still very good.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Michigan put it together later in the year, too. That didn't help them. But I agree. I mean, he did whatever he wanted in that game in Ann Arbor. And I agree. I mean, he hasn't been the same. And the Georgia thing is odd for me, too, because like you said, the game plan wasn't very different. It looked like that game in Austin earlier in the year. It looked the exact same.
Yeah.
They weren't very aggressive, and then when they were, it wasn't in the right spots. It felt like it was just odd. So I don't know. Sark, I mean, they're back here again, but, like, can they get it done?
Yeah, that's what I'm most disappointed about is, like, I thought Steve Sarkisian, one of the best offensive minds in college football, was going to have a much better game plan, incorporate Arch Manning a little bit into maybe third and short, second and short, some running packages to kind of confuse that Georgia defense. Never even put him in the game. And I also think Quinn Ewers is still hurt. I think he's still hurt.
There's definitely something off.
Like, when he throws a ball downfield, they're almost like floaters.
Yeah.
Like Issa pitches. Like, yeah, I don't know what it is, but he has not looked the same for a long time, and that really concerned me a lot, and it ended up costing the game because they only scored, what, like 13 points?
Yeah.
So I was very disappointed in that, and I think if Texas was smart and if Sark was smart, he either starts or he plays Arch at least 50% of the snaps this game. It is so clear that Arch is a much better athlete.
Yeah.
You could scheme him a lot of different ways, and if he's healthy, he can throw the ball better than Quinn. So I think he's got to do that to air it out against a Clemson secondary that's not as good.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson's defense is very interesting to me because the two SEC teams they played this year, they've gotten blown out both times pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I know the USC game was close, but in theory, if you watch that game, it was not close.
Yeah.
The defense has not really held up, and the offense, my God, they have not played well at all. I mean, they got handled against Georgia and handled against USC because they were not able to run the ball effectively. And then when Klubnik had to throw, he didn't throw well. So that's what I'm worried about on Clemson's side.
Yeah, I was going to
be. I like Phil Maffa. He's a good running back for Clemson.
That Texas front, man, is.
Oh, my God. It's littered with NFL talent.
Yeah.
They are screwed if they cannot run the ball. And like I said, the two SEC teams they played, 3 points against Georgia, 14 points against USC.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see them, honestly, really staying close with Texas if Texas starts Arch.
Yeah.
And there's no way in any shape, way, shape, or form I can take Clemson plus 12, but I can't take UT minus 12.
I know, and that's the thing with this, and like the way the numbers moved, like this opened at 10.5 has moved to 12.
Yeah,
I think it's one of those where, like, if you look at this on paper, Clemson feels like the easy play. So this is like a take Texas. If you're gonna take a side, I would take Texas. I'm honestly probably gonna bet on Texas.
Okay.
I want to go back to the Arch thing.
Yeah.
Because it feels like Sark is very hesitant to use him, to kind of not, you know, get Ewers' confidence lower and things like that. But when he does put him in, it's at the worst times, it feels like. Like, he puts him in at times that it'll be, like, right after Ewers makes a mistake, Arch will go in for a couple plays, and then he comes back out.
Mm-hmm.
I think I agree with what you said. Mix him in early and often, second and short, third and short. Let him run because he's a specimen. He's huge. He's athletic. He can move. Use them both. You have them both. Might as well use them both. And I think if he does that, I think Texas handles Clemson easily.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I will say one thing I was also disappointed about, too, is going back to when Texas played Georgia, like, their run game was non-existent.
Yeah,
averaging, like, less than 2 yards a carry. And I was like, was Sark going to – is he going to make second-half adjustments? And he never did. He just thought they could run the ball effectively, and they never could throughout that game. So, I think – it all goes back to, is Arch going to get more playing time? Is he going to scheme up maybe some slip screens for running backs? And if he opens up the passing game, they can effectively run the ball more. But if he has the same game plan, Clemson definitely has a chance to, if not keep it close, win the game.
Mm-hmm.
But for me personally, I'm not betting either side. 12 is just way too much, and I'm going to bet the under in this game.
Okay.
I just don't think there's not going to be a lot of points scored in this game.
I don't mind that at all. I'm going to roll with Texas, like I said. I think it's kind of a – go against the average better here. 12 points in a playoff game, But, I mean, at the end of the day, this game's in Austin. You know, it's going to be rocking, obviously. Like, they've been waiting for this for
– I don't really see a lot of Clemson. Like, this is kind of the same thing as Penn State. Yeah. I don't see a lot of Clemson fans traveling for this game because I think they already know their destiny and their fate. So, it's going to be rocking in Austin.
Yeah. I'm a really good game. I think it's going to be interesting. But, I mean, if Texas does what they're supposed to do, it'll be easy for them. Mm-hmm. Now let's get into a team that, going off of that, are they going to do – what they're supposed to do. Saturday night, Tennessee goes to Columbus, Ohio State, Tennessee. The spread here is 7.5 in favor of the Buckeyes. The total's 45.5, which is a little interesting to me. But I know we'll get into all that. I'm not going to lie, Parker, I think this game is my favorite game on the board. And I think it's square, but I don't care. I'm taking Tennessee. I am, because I think this Ohio State team, as much as they want to believe they're all right and they're not broken, I think the second that something goes wrong or things are questionable, the environment around not just the team but in the stadium, Tennessee is talking about they're going to bring 30,000, which I would not doubt. I don't see it happening, but you know they're going to get as many people in there as they can. I'm going to take Tennessee here. I think they cover the number. Can they win the game? Absolutely. Are they going to? It goes back to what I was saying. Is Ohio State going to do what they're supposed to do? Because the strength of this Tennessee team is the D-line. The D-line's fantastic. Tennessee bullies. They run the ball. You know, and I just – Nico, a freshman in this environment, it's going to be tough. But it goes down to – Tennessee knows what they want to do in this game. I don't think Ohio State knows what they want to do. I don't think they know what they want to do. I think Day's going to get cute early, get the ball outside to Smith, let the wide receivers work, which he obviously should have done against Michigan and never did. But I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are on this one, because this is obviously a team, Big Ten. We've talked about them a lot throughout the year. Interesting one here.
Yeah, this is actually my least favorite game out of the four, just because I've gone back and forth in my head almost every single day on who to pick for this game, because it all depends on which Ohio State team is going to show up.
Right.
If Ohio State is like they were 2 years ago when they lost to Michigan and they still made the playoff, but they were pissed off, they still made it, had a chance to go to the national championship against Georgia, they damn near should have beat them.
Arguably – I agree. They should have won that game.
They should have won
Marv
that game.
Marv goes out.
C.J. Stroud and Marv were phenomenal that game.
Yeah, fantastic.
They played fantastic. Yeah. The game plan was great, really great on offense. If they do that exact same thing as they do on Saturday in Columbus, they're going to win this game. The problem is, I'm same as you. I don't know if they are.
Yep.
Like you were saying, Tennessee is going to get some fans in there. Now, how many, I don't know, but it's definitely going to be more than 5,000 fans, maybe 10,000, 15,000. They're going to make the trek up. They want to see this game. What I'm actually curious about is what's Ohio State's fan base going to be like, because they're still really pissed off.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if things go wrong in this game, they'll turn quick.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they – I know we talked – I mean, we talked obviously a lot before the Michigan game. Ryan Day was coaching for his job. He needs to win this game by a lot. They didn't even – I mean, obviously, we all know they didn't even win the game.
No.
No, they weren't even worried about running it up or whatever. This is – and I know they're saying, oh, he'll be back, no doubt, blah, blah, blah. If it gets ugly in this one, I think the fan base turns quickly and the environment in that stadium instantly turns in favor of Tennessee, which is crazy to say.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if Tennessee gets the ball first, scores in the first drive, goes down 7-0 – There's going to be a lot of boos.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of boos directed to Ryan Day in the sideline. And this is another spot for Ryan Day. Like, he's got a lot of pressure on him. I know the AD has come out and said, he's our guy. Well, that can all change if they get blown out or they lose this game, or they should win this game. So I think the couple keys to this game, you touched on it, Tennessee's D-line is for real, for real. James Pierce Jr., a top 10 pick this year. He is so, so good. They're going to go against an OSU line who, after McLellan got hurt as their center, they have looked very, very spotty. That's the biggest matchup. OSU's O line, Tennessee's D line.
Yep, 100%.
Strength versus not a strength. If OSU can hold up, give Will Howard some time to actually pass the ball, if Chip Kelly's open up the playbook to the two best receivers in the freaking country, yeah, then Ohio State's got a great chance to win the game. Mm-hmm. But are they gonna be, you know, arrogant and stagnant again and run the ball on first second down with Travion Henderson? Then that's just playing into Tennessee's game.
Right.
Third and long again, like the same thing as Michigan. They're just gonna tee up on him, and Will Howard's gonna make mistakes like he did in the past.
Right.
So on the flip side of the ball, Dylan Sampson is, you know, a top five running back in the country.
Yep.
I don't know if people, if you really watch Tennessee, but I mean, he's a power back. And then when he gets out in the open, he can kind of flash that speed a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's really, really good. I know Ohio State's got arguably the best defense in the playoff. You could say Notre Dame maybe, but I think all three levels are really good. So Ohio State's probably not going to bring a lot of blitzes or packages like that because they know they don't have to with that D-line and those really good linebackers and Sawyer and Simon.
Mm-hmm.
But if, my God, I mean, if Sampson gets some traction on the ground, that's going to open up some deep shots for Heupel's, you know, hyper-aggressive offense, and Nico's going to have some shots downfield.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know, on that side of the ball what's going to happen. Really, either side of the ball, that's why I'm so back and forth on this. Like, it all hinges on Chip Kelly's play calling,
yep,
and can the Ohio State offense actually move the football. If they turn it into a shell like they did against Michigan, I just can't see them winning, and I can see Tennessee taking this game, and that's why I'm going to also take Tennessee in the points, too.
Love it.
There's no way I could see Ohio State covering in this line. There's no way.
They can cover it, but I don't think that they win this game by, like, I don't think they win this game by 17 or
no,
two,
there's
like,
no. There's it, no it, way.
Tennessee is going to be – I feel comfortable saying that Tennessee is going to be in a position to cover this number.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
As the game goes on, and I wanted to touch on what you said because, you know, I've been going back and forth with, you know, others as well about how – when Ohio State lost to Michigan, and then they go against that Georgia team that was, I mean, unbelievable. That team was so good. They won the Natty by 60.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The difference to me, though, is they had C.J. Stroud. Will Howard is not C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
He's just not. And Jeremiah Smith's great, but, I mean, Marv was Marv at that point, too. I just don't see a world where Will Howard can come out and just completely light it on fire like Stroud did in that game. Will they be more motivated? Obviously, yes. You know, I mean, I know we talk about Ryan Day and things like that, but just to go past that, the players, obviously, they're pissed off. After losing that game again to Michigan as three touchdown favorites at home, they're going to be ready to go. I have no doubt about that. It's just, are things going to get in motion and stay in motion as the game goes on? That's where I doubt Ohio State. And that's why I'm surprised that this number 7.5, if you go off the logic that we were talking about last game, it would be take Ohio State because it kind of makes no sense. But I just can't do it.
No.
I can't do it. And it all comes down to, and it's really been the basis of all three games so far, the trenches. That's going to be the difference for me. And I think Tennessee is going to be at least in a position to cover this game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and I think out of the four lines total, the weakest – you know, line is OSU's own line, and that is probably going to cost them the game. So I think when you look at Ohio State and who they played and good running backs and teams that they played, Oregon, they kind of gashed them a little bit here and there, but that's just because it's Oregon, right? They can kind of beat you with the pass and run.
Mm-hmm.
I think this game is going to be very similar to another game that we saw Ohio State play in, Penn State, because Penn State is very similar to Tennessee. Very, very good running game.
I like that, Parker. That's,
very
yeah,
good
that's
D-line. Good. And I think Drew Aller is, I think, a little bit better this year, or has been, than Nico, just because he's got more experience. And he's got a better play call, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Tennessee's a similar team to Penn State. And Penn State should have won that game. I mean, they blew two, you know, first and goals at the 5, mm-hmm. you know, to score touchdowns and win that game. If Tennessee gets that same opportunity, they're going to score
on
those.
Yeah,
so that's why I think Tennessee's going to take advantage of opportunities of Ohio State miscues, and I think Ohio State's going to fall short on play calling again on offense. I just think they're not going to open it up again, and they're going to be a little more conservative. So
I know. And that's the thing, too, is I think Day being that conservative, I don't think we're going to see that, but I think it's going to be one or the other. Like, he's going to get a little
hyper aggressive,
yeah,
or
like,
just
like he's going to get too hyper aggressive,
yeah,
early.
Yeah.
And things aren't, like, it's just Will Howard's Will Howard. You know, like, yeah. I'm not saying he's bad by any means. He's a good quarterback, but, like, he can't open it up like a Gabriel can.
No, he
you
can't.
Know, like a Quinn Ewers or Archer or, you know, whoever else we've been talking about. It's just I don't see it.
He's also really, like, if you watch it, like, his games against big teams, against Penn State, Oregon, and Michigan, he's very first read quarterback.
Yes.
Like, if he doesn't get off his first read in time, he's screwed. Like, he panics.
We
like,
talked about that during the Michigan game. Yeah, I mean, he will stare at his first read.
Yeah,
and that's when he makes mistakes.
I think him and Nico are very similar in athletic ability. Mm-hmm. Both can kind of scramble like on their own if they need to make a play. But I don't know. I mean, Will Howard, like, I just don't really trust him in these big games. Like, yeah, that Penn State game they won, but it wasn't because of him. It was because of their defense.
Right.
So. But, yeah, I think overall, I think you and I are on the same page. We're taking Tennessee in the points.
Yeah.
I'm staying away from the over-under because if Ohio State goes really super hyper-aggressive and it works, this game could go way over.
Yeah.
But it could be the same as the Penn State game where, you know, it goes 10 points under. So, I'm off on
that. So, who wins this game? Like, because I think, Parker, honestly, I think if Tennessee covers a number, I think they win the game.
I think –
I don't really see.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I think Tennessee's going to be able to run the ball aggressively enough, and Nico's going to be able to make a couple big-time throws because they're just going to wear down this Ohio State team and have long, sustained drives where they win the game by, like, 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see Ohio State having a little better game plan, but I don't see them scoring, like, over 20 points. I mean, so I gotta lean barely Tennessee to win the game, but
okay.
It's just so 50-50.
We'll talk about both sides when we get to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
So I mean, that'll do it for the first round games. They're gonna be really awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that someone's gonna get upset. It's just a matter of who. I don't think all four favorites win.
No, definitely not. I mean, heck, I pretty much picked two upsets, and you picked one. So, I mean, that's what we want for this 12-team playoff,
right?
That's why we expanded it to get, you know, more teams involved to win a championship. So, I'm hoping these first-round games are competitive and we get at least one upset.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right, let's move on to the second round here. So, we're going to go to the Peach Bowl. We'll start at the top of the bracket here. So it'll be Texas, based on what we've said, Texas, Arizona State. Now, Dillingham, obviously, unbelievable year for Arizona State. They're picked last in the preseason poll, and they end up winning the conference. Parker, I know we can talk about Levitt, but we're not going to because that's a sore subject. He's been fantastic. I just don't see any world where Arizona State wins this game.
There's a world. There is a world.
I don't know, Parker.
I get worried because who did Arizona State play this year? They didn't play anyone of substance.
Weak conference.
It was a weak, like, the Big 12 was not a strong conference.
I think weak is fair. I think weak is fair. There was no one there. Like, there's just no one
like,
at the top
they played,
that was.
Like, Iowa State in the conference championship. Iowa State, they were not that good. They were kind of a fake team, too. I mean, so, I don't know. This game, this potential game is very odd. It's in Atlanta, so it favors a little bit of Texas, a little bit of short, travel time. One thing I will say is on Arizona State, Scadabo is unbelievable.
He's incredible.
Unbelievable. His ability to break tackles at every single level is honestly astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think – It gives Arizona State a little bit of an edge because Texas, he can kind of wear Texas down a little bit as the game goes on. The thing is, don't get me wrong, I like Sam Levitt. I think he's good. He's gotten a lot better, progressed, but he hasn't really played a defense like Texas has.
No.
And he's still young. He's still a redshirt freshman, and I liked what I've seen out of him, but I will say he's sneakily athletic. He's way more athletic than you think he is. He can run the football and get you, you know, a chunk 15, 20 yards, but I just can't see him when he gets under pressure and they actually collapse on him. Him being able to throw big time throws and getting completions on third and longs. I can't really see that. I can see that if they have success early running the football with Cam. If they do, they're gonna be a lot of play action deep shots where he can have chances to.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest problem here is I don't know if Arizona State's top receiver's playing. He was in a sling. came out of the game against BYU, didn't play in the game last 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
It didn't really matter. But if he's out, I mean, he's their everything.
Yeah.
I think he was like 40% of their offense. I mean, it was him and Scadabo and a little bit of Levin. So
that's what I was going to bring up. I know they, I mean, they were talking about things, but I don't, he's not going to play.
Yeah, he's probably not.
Yeah, he's not going to play. And
that's
like
big.
When you look at this depth chart, you know, they were able to get it done against Iowa State. They just gave Scadabo the ball and just let him work, which you can do. But, I mean, Jordan Tyson had 75 catches for 1,100 yards this season.
Yeah.
Their next leading receiver was Scadabo with 37 catches for 500 yards. After that, Guillory, 19 catches.
Yeah, so he's pretty much half his target. He was half of Sam Levitt's target.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to come up with some scheme, and I'm sure they'll have a solid, like, 10 to 15 play start for that. But I don't know if they can really sustain that. And one thing I will say was misleading, too, in that Big 12 championship game was – I mean, that game was pretty close, and they got handed three straight turnovers.
Yeah.
That kind of ended the game right there. I don't see Texas turning the ball over.
No.
They don't turn the ball over that much. So I could see a way, like I said, if they get success running the ball early and it works out and they kind of put Texas on their heels with some play action because of that. But I don't see that. Now, the other side of the ball, their defense is a little porous.
Yeah.
I mean, they can – if Texas really wanted to, they could air this thing out. They could go deep to Isaiah Bond if they wanted to, a couple deep shots. They could have a little bit more success running the football just because Arizona State's defense's not the best. So, yeah, I mean, I would lean Texas, obviously. I'm going to pick Texas to win that game.
Right.
But I'm just saying it's not out of the realm that Arizona State can win this game. There is a path for them to win this game. There's a reason why they won 11 games this year. But I think it's more of like a 75-25 shot right now for Texas to win this game.
Okay.
So
I'd go a little more personally.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean I agree with you completely. It's just like everything's going to have to go right for them.
I would say for the most part. And what I will say too, that this will be Texas' second time in less than a month playing in that bowl, playing in that stadium. So they're already familiar with that turf. So they'll understand the environment and whatnot. So, and I would say at that point, if they beat Clemson, I think Sark would had to have a good game plan against them offensively. So that means they're incorporating Arch Manning, RPO, and some run scheme in that. So yeah, I think it's Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not disagreeing with you there. So
yeah, that one will be interesting. This is kind of, I think there's some kinks to work out with the playoffs still, with, you know, the byes and the who gets the byes and the conference champions and this and that. But you know, that's above our pay grade. So,
and that's a whole different conversation.
Right.
We could have an hour long conversation on why it's flawed, but yeah. So.
Right. All right, let's move on to the Rose Bowl here. And we'll talk from both sides. So obviously Oregon is already in it. And we talked about, you know, Tennessee, Ohio State being able to go either way. Let's start if it's Oregon, Ohio State, if we get a rematch there.
Sure.
If this is my thinking, if Ohio State wins this game against Tennessee, all of it gets erased. They know they can play with Oregon. Honestly, they should have won that game
they
in Eugene.
Yeah, they should have.
Obviously, the Will Howard blunder at the end, not completely his fault, though. I mean, there were obviously other things that, you know, should have went their way as that game went on. If it gets to that, I think Ohio State wins the game. Because, like I said, if Ohio State gets there and, like, if Ohio State beats Tennessee, I think everything gets erased. I think they're confident that they can win that game. Obviously, it'll be neutral. I like Ohio State in that game. If they get there, though, that's the thing. I think this Tennessee game is honestly much harder for Ohio State than an Oregon matchup would be.
I would agree with you that Oregon's a better matchup for them.
Yeah.
Just because Ohio State struggles playing a more physical brand of football. Oregon is they're really good with their O-line, but their D-line has been suspect throughout the season, and they've given up some big rushing plays and passing plays. So that's where Ohio State can write, and you know they can be you know an air attack, air raid with Jeremiah Smith and Edbuka, right, and Carnell Tate, and that's what worked in the first game. They were airing it out and getting some chunk plays here and there from you know Quinshon and Travion.
Yeah, Will Howard 326 yards, two touchdowns in that game.
He played a really good game that game. He was phenomenal. So that's what I'm saying. If they do get there in the Rose Bowl, it's going to be outdoors, nice weather. It's going to favor Ohio State, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is like. Man, Oregon, I was not expecting them to score 50 on Penn State. I mean, that kind of felt like a culmination of, okay, we're kind of like hiding some plays and like what we truly can be throughout the season. We're kind of once we get to like 24 or 30 points, we shut down.
There were a lot of doubts about Oregon.
Yeah. I mean, they blew the doors off Penn State's defense. I mean, both through the ground and air. So I think Ohio State's a better defense than Penn State was in that championship game, and going out west definitely favors Oregon. It's closer to home.
Right.
But man, I mean, I really truly think I'm kind of with you. If Ohio State gets there, they can definitely win this game. But I gotta go Oregon here.
That's fair.
I can't do it just because I think when Oregon gets to like a serious game where they have to win and it's all on the line, they can throw the ball to anyone and they can run the ball on anyone. And I think a big thing too is Oregon, when they one weapon they didn't have for most of that game was Evan Stewart. He got kicked out of that game like pretty early on against Ohio State, their leading receiver, so they had to go to their tier two. I mean, they won the game, so it's not that big of a deal. But they're going to have him for almost the majority of that game if they do play in the Rose Bowl. So I can kind of see Oregon maybe even putting it on more against Ohio State on offense.
You almost make me want to flip. I'm not going to. But I 100% agree with what you're saying. It's because Oregon earlier in the year, like you said, they'd get up, they'd score 30, 35, and they'd stop.
Yeah.
It'd get very vanilla. And there were doubts, is this the best team? And then, at the end, they ended up being the only undefeated team. Like you said, though, in a game where they needed to open up, I mean, Gabriel and Lanning, I mean, he was just doing anything he wanted.
Yeah.
Anything he wanted, they were getting it. James, obviously, is the great back there, too. I mean, he was going to be able to run early in the year against Ohio State.
Yeah.
He had 115 yards and a touchdown on them, too. So, like,
it's so balanced.
I'm not going to flip, but I agree with what you're saying that they've opened it up.
Yeah.
Like I think they're completely unlocked now.
And that's why I'm gonna take Oregon in this just because they're now firing on cylinders. They understand that what's at hand, and I just think they've got too many weapons outside at wide receiver, tight end, and then they got Jordan James, who's a physical power running back.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to put up – they play Ohio State, they're going to put up more than 35. They're going to put more points than they put up against them the first time they played.
Yeah.
So I just don't know. I got to go Oregon, but I will say I'm skeptical because they did give up 200 yards to Singleton and Allen against Penn State. So I got to lean Oregon just because they haven't lost a game yet. Their team culture is so good. Lanning's a great coach.
Yeah.
Under pressure. I don't trust staying under pressure against a good team, so I got to lean Oregon.
Okay, let's go to the other side really quick, though. So if they play Tennessee, what you just talked about with Samson, is that going to create more of an issue for them?
See, that's a bigger issue because Samson is they're a much better running team than Ohio State is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, Singleton and Allen had 200-plus last week. Dylan Samson could have 200-plus on his own.
Right.
So they run that against Oregon, and they open up passing for Nico, the deep shots, which I think Tennessee takes more deep shots than Ohio State has this year. I think Tennessee's got a better D-line than Ohio State, but not a better total defense.
Yes, I agree.
So I think
if that game happens, I think if it's Tennessee-Oregon, I think it'll turn into a duel. And if it's Gabriel, like the fifth year against Nico, like it's gonna be Oregon.
Yeah, and that's that. I just come back to if it's a shootout, I'm taking Oregon,
right?
Because I think Tennessee can get home better and has a better chance to on Dylan Gabriel, but I just don't think their secondary is as good as Ohio State's. I don't really see it. So I think Oregon will have a better chance to get the ball out quicker. On opposite sides, and they have better athletes, and I think that'll just kind of open it up for the run game for Oregon. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think Tennessee's got a better chance to score more points on offense, but I think they have a worse chance to stay home on Oregon for defense.
I agree. Yeah,
so I'll stick with Oregon too on that.
I agree.
There's not really a scenario where I think Oregon can lose to both these teams in my mind. So,
All right, moving on. We'll say Penn State moves on and plays Boise State.
Sure.
I mean,
That's fine.
I'm just saying, is there a scenario where Boise State wins the game?
No, there's not.
Okay. I'm just making sure we're on the same page.
I'll let you know right now. It doesn't matter if SMU or Penn State wins, they're beating Boise State. Okay. I'm sorry to say that.
Gentee, great story, unbelievable year. Should he have been the Heisman? Yeah. Questionable. I don't know. I'm on Team Travis Hunter personally. Mm-hmm. He was the best player in the country. I know Gentee had an unbelievable year, and you can't discount that. But this is, where we kind of get back to the conversation. Should Boise State be one of these bye teams?
Absolutely not.
No, they're not one of the best four teams. I know Boise State went to Oregon and were very impressive.
Yeah.
But this is.
That was also week two.
Right. I know.
This is week two. And this was when Oregon was still breaking in their defense because they got a lot of new guys. Here's the thing.
The film's out on Gentee, too. That's a major factor, too.
Here's the problem. I love Ashton Gentee. I think he was my favorite to win the Heisman. I'm fine with Travis, too, but I think he's a phenomenal player. I mean, he had a top five season ever as a running back. Yeah. You can't deny that. Here's the problem, though, is Boise State down the stretch was really faltering. I mean, they only won by like six against a bad Wyoming team, barely beat a bad San Diego State team at home. I mean, they were barely clawing and scraping their way by just to get to the Mountain West Championship, and they ended up beating UNLV because it was honestly really cold weather, not because their defense was that good.
I know, because they played a few weeks before, and Boise was absolutely in a position to lose that game.
Oh, they should have lost that game. Mm-hmm. But you know why they should have lost the game is because UNLV stacked the box.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And UNLV had the best defense, I would say, in the Mountain West this year, and they kind of held Jenny in check. And this is not UNLV they're going against. I think with either Penn State or SMU, probably more Penn State, they're going against a better athletes. Mm-hmm. We'll just put it better athletes on their D-line, at linebacker. They're going to load that box. There's no way Gentee can have a big game, with that small amount of carries you're going to get. Their quarterback, Maddox, I think he's actually a bit better than people say he is. I think he had a really good game against UNLV. In the Mountain West Championship game, but I'm sorry, there's just no way. Like, there's no way they're going to be able to scheme against either a Penn State secondary or an SMU secondary that they're going to have success. They don't really have a good tight end. They have one good wide receiver. He's not a really mobile quarterback, so he kind of stays in the pocket. And when he gets pressured, you'll get flux. And there's no way in heck I can see, Boise State scoring a lot of points. And on the flip side, good Lord. I mean, it could be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're going to give up points.
They're going to give up a lot of points regardless of which team it is. Mm-hmm. A lot of points running the football. So, I there's no way I can see a world where Boise State
wins. I mean, it's just like it's really basic. They obviously rely on the run a lot. If you get behind in the game, Gentee's not going to be as big of a factor.
No.
And you take him out of it. I mean, it's
pretty much over. Right. I mean, you can give him some slip screens and whatnot, but that's it. I mean, you got to be able to, step back and throw the ball. And they've done that decently this year, but that's
right. Like you said, Maddox isn't bad, but there's just no scenario. It's a shame. Great season for Boise State. Great season for Gentee. Basically carrying them all the way there, but. I mean, you got to buy in the playoff. That's
about the best you can get.
I'm
sorry to say, but yeah. So,
all right, Sugar Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia will say Notre Dame.
Yeah, Notre Dame.
Interesting, Parker. Go ahead, please.
Because
no Carson Beck. That's confirmed.
That's exactly what I was saying. He's out for this game. That changes everything. Gunnar Stockton did not look good at all in that second half against Texas.
He did have a good first drive.
He did, but then after that, once they kind of figured out he can only run the football. Mm-hmm. Like we're just gonna kind of load the box on him. Yeah, he could not pass the football, so that's a big problem. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. I think I'm leaning Notre Dame here. I gotta lean Notre
to
Dame.
Win the game. You're saying?
I think I'm saying to win the game. I can't. Like I said, I can't believe I'm saying this just because Georgia's Georgia, and I can never go against Georgia. Sorry, against Georgia, but with Beck being out, I can't see it. Like Stockton is not; he can't throw the football. Notre Dame has arguably the second best defense in this playoff. They're going to load the box and swarm him and make him throw the football. I mean, I can't see it. And ETN he's still banged up. Like he's not 100%, so he's not going to be able to run the football that well. I think Notre Dame is going to – they're gonna contain them to maybe under 20 points, I'd say, or maybe under 17. I can't see Georgia succeeding on offense. I mean, because, Theo, you got to think, even some games this year, Kentucky, they didn't play well on offense.
I know.
Like, that's alarming. And on the other side of the ball, I know, like, Riley Leonard is – you can't trust him. We just talked about that against IU. But I think Jeremiah Love is a very talented running back, and I think they'll have enough, you know, running power just to get them by and win, like, a very close, like, low-scoring game. I know it's crazy to say, and you can't go against Georgia, but without Carson Beck, I cannot see them winning. I can't see them winning. I'm sorry.
Parker, that's fair. I'm going to have to disagree with you. I am, and it's just because it's Georgia with a couple weeks off, Kirby – I know things have been questionable. I mean, even with Beck, the offense at times was atrocious. I understand that. But, like, at the end of the day, it's Georgia. I still trust Kirby. I trust the athletes that are there. I trust the scheme, especially defensively. I don't see Indiana or Notre Dame. I think it's going to be Notre Dame. I agree with you. I don't see a world where Riley Leonard is going to be able, like, where they're going to be able to have consistent success running the ball and moving the ball throughout the game. I just don't see it. So I'm going to go with Georgia there to win that game. I just am. I just think, especially with how they looked against Texas in the second half, they did what they have to do to win the game, and they're going to have a couple weeks to prep for whoever. And I know. They have to figure out who they're playing first. But you know they're prepping for both teams right now.
Right.
I trust Kirby. I trust the scheme for them to get stops. And I agree with you. It's not going to be easy for them to score. Notre Dame's got a really good defense. They might not score 20 to 24 points. But I just don't see a world where they get outscored in terms of just their defense being stronger. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I just the thing is I go back to who do I trust more, quarterback? And as much as
That's fair.
I don't trust Riley Leonard, but I trust him a hell of a lot more than Gunnar, like Stockton. Stockton has played one half this year in
that's
a big-time
fair.
Game, and he didn't look comfortable except for that one drive. And I get what you're saying. Like, they have 2 weeks to prepare. It's Kirby Smart. He's a proven winner when it comes to the playoff and big games, but this year has just felt so different.
It has felt different. They haven't been as dominant.
No,
that's been clear.
They really have not. They should have lost to Kentucky. They lost to Alabama. I mean, they were down 28-0 in that game, and they came back and almost won, but should have lost to Georgia Tech. I can't do it. I think Notre Dame, and I'll say this, we have mentioned this, I think Marcus Freeman, I think he's starting to be a top five coach in college football. I think if he comes up and wins, beats IU, beats Georgia, goes to like the top final four teams, he is so sound on defense, and he gets the right players in their scheme on offense to play well for him, and he's so sound. I think he's going to have a good scheme potentially against Georgia if they beat IU. Where they're going to have a good amount of RPO with Leonard and Love, and then have timely throws to their wide receiver core. I don't know. I just don't trust Georgia this year, and it's crazy to say from past years, but I can't see it with Gunnar Stockton.
It's fair. So. Like what you're saying is completely fair. I'm just like in my head when Georgia's had those games that they've needed to win,
they've won.
Particularly the two games that are in my head are the Texas games.
That's true.
Like what they did to that offense both times, they just do what they need to do to win the game. Now, obviously not having Beck is a huge factor that they had in those games, well, a game and a half. But still, that's why I like.
Like if Beck was in this game, I'm taking Georgia.
Yeah,
100%, no doubt. Because Georgia can you know pass the ball a lot
more. That's
fair.
Big games, you want a quarterback. You want the better quarterback.
That's a no brainer. But he's out. I just Gunnar has not played enough football. I can't see it. I'm sorry. So I'm going Notre Dame, and you're going Georgia. I know we differ on that, but
that's fine. So. That's fine. All right, we'll move to the Cotton Bowl because we're on the same page here. That would be Oregon, Texas.
Yep.
A really, really interesting game. If it happens, obviously, hopefully it does. I think Oregon, like you said, if they beat a Tennessee, Ohio State, and they're in these, like, they're in these types of games too. I just trust Gabriel. I trust Lanning. I think the defense will be able to get stops when it needs to, especially if Texas is questionable. Like we said, I don't think Arizona State wins this game. There's a path, but I just don't see it happening. Mm-hmm. I just think down the stretch, Oregon's going to be able to move the ball and do what they need to do to win that game.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you there. I think Texas D can only stop Oregon so much. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be able to have success maybe early if they do play this game and maybe stop the run and maybe have Gabriel throw. But I think at some point Gabriel and the receivers are just, they're just too much. There's too much offensive mm-hmm. weapons for Gabriel and Oregon. Stewart and Gabriel and then Ferguson the tight end. Yeah.
Tez is still there too.
It's like you can't go against that. Like in Texas defense, like their secondary and is not as great as mm-hmm. as a Tennessee or Ohio State. It's even worse in Tennessee. So I got to lean Oregon here. I think this one's a no-brainer. Not on that side because of the other side. I think there's no way in heck Texas will be able to score a lot of points on this Oregon defense because they can't run the football. Oregon's big weakness is they can't stop the run, really, mm-hmm. against good teams. Texas can't run the ball. So if they're not able to run the ball, then Oregon can just put blitzes in and they can play more man coverage and, you know, make whoever it is, Archer Quinn, to throw the football mm-hmm. more. So I like Oregon in this game. I think this one's more of a no-brainer than if they played Ohio State or Tennessee for Oregon. So I think they have an easier time against Texas to go to the national championship in my mind. So.
I think that the spread will be – I think it'll be within a field goal if we get the game. Maybe 4.5, maybe.
I would say, yeah, I'm like closer to 4.
Obviously, it's going to depend on what happens in the games before.
Very true.
But, I mean, like you said, Parker, and the point that we went over it quickly, Oregon's just balanced. Like, anything – if you want to stop the run, that's fine. Like, we'll just let Gabriel pick you apart. If you're going to focus on us outside, that's fine. James will get 3-4 yards carry.
Yeah.
It's they're a problem. They're a problem. They just are. All right. So, we have Penn State against Georgia or Notre Dame, theoretically. Let's start Penn State, Notre Dame. Go ahead.
Okay, well, here's what I was actually thinking, because I'm gonna surprise you here. I think you and I both talk about this game and it's our own aspect, because I actually have SMU in the Final Four.
Okay, all right.
Versus Penn State.
Go ahead.
SMU, Notre Dame, and then you can talk about yourself.
That's perfect.
You know, Penn State, Georgia. I think if it comes down to SMU, Notre Dame, this is a clash of the Titans on one side of the ball. SMU's electric offense versus Notre Dame's stout defense. I think at that point, SMU's turnovers probably catch up to them and they become a problem. And I think they can contain Jennings enough because that O-line isn't in the best, and Notre Dame can just line up just three or four, and they don't have to blitz and, you know, contain Jennings and have to make him throw the football. I think he might make a couple mistakes throwing the football and then maybe have a fumble. And I just think Notre Dame's defense is just too much for SMU. They might score a couple touchdowns and maybe get the 20, but I think on that front, you know, they're too good on defense. And on the other side of the ball, I think SMU is probably going to give up a lot of running yards. This is a game where potentially Notre Dame can rack up a lot of yards for Love, and then that can open up some timely throws for Riley Leonard to get some easy points. I think Notre Dame could score like up to 30 points in this game, and I think Notre Dame wins this game.
So personally. Just backtracking real quick, are you worried if it's SMU Boise about Genty?
No. I'm not. No, because they're going to load the box.
Okay.
I was saying either team is going to load the box.
Okay. Yeah. That's fine.
SMU has I'm not saying SMU is like a pushover on defense. They've got a decent D-line, and they've got a couple guys that can get quarterback pressure. But I just think those are the best athletes.
It's much easier to game plan for Boise than for Notre Dame. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that'll be the best front that Boise will face regardless if it's mm-hmm. Penn State or SMU. So, but.
Okay. All right. So there's that.
So I got Notre Dame going to the national championship.
Okay.
And that theoretical.
All right. So I'll have Penn State, Georgia. Like I said, I think against Notre Dame, I think Georgia takes care of business. I just trust the defense more. And I obviously, like I said, I think Penn State gets there. That once they get to that Penn State game, I think that's where the Beck issue, if he's back, mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to play.
I agree with you. I think They were saying he wasn't even at the facility and wasn't even team practices. So there's no way he plays if they go to this game.
This is all based on if Beck doesn't play, which I don't think he's going to. Mm-hmm. It'd be Georgia, Penn State. I think that's going to be a problem, and I think Penn State goes to the final and beats Georgia, because that Stockton, the loss of Beck and the Stockton issue is going to be much clearer, much more visible in that game against Penn State than against the Notre Dame.
Now, would you be worried about the Penn State defense against Georgia, or excuse me, other side of the ball, the Georgia defense trying to stop the Penn State rushing attack?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you think Penn State would have success rushing the football against Georgia?
I think Penn State will just have more success offensively, because they'll have the possessions.
Okay.
Like they'll have more time of possession because of the Stockton issue.
Okay.
I think everything will stem off of the not having Beck. So Penn State might not be as successful.
Sure.
But as the game goes on, the not having as many possessions, the length of possessions, the Georgia defense being on the field a lot, I think that as the game goes on, they'll be able to move the ball.
And I could see too, theoretically. I wish we could have mentioned again, like, Tyler Warren is so good.
Yeah.
They're going to get him the football, and if they keep advancing.
Almost 100 catches this year, which is crazy.
He's incredible, and he's a tackle breaker too. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't go down after like one or two guys. He makes plays down the field. So I think that's a big thing too, if they did play this game, is I think they're going to try and get him the football too, and kind of get Georgia, you know, out of sorts, I would say. So, but okay.
All right. And, all right, I'll start with my natty then. So I would have Penn State, Oregon, rematch of the Big Ten championship game. And I'm just going to go with Oregon. I think they've been the best team in the country all year. I think if they get there, Lanning knows exactly what he needs to do in that spot to beat Penn State again, like they already have been. And I know we've talked about it, and it was a doubt in the first round. But James Franklin in a national championship game against Lanning, I don't see a world where Penn State wins that game.
No.
And like you said, I think if Oregon gets there, they're going to – I mean, they're already rolling offensively, but they are going to be rolling. And, you know, they'll have 10 days to prepare for that game too. So I'm going to go with Oregon as my national champion.
Yeah.
I know it's a little bit chalk, but
– yeah.
And, you know, they've been the best team in the country all year, and I think they continue that. And if they match up with Penn State, I'm going to go with the Ducks.
Okay. I just so funny to see saying James Franklin in a national championship game. Like, I can't believe, like, it's a theoretical, but I could definitely see that happening. I mean, it's crazy.
Absolutely.
So for mine, it would be Oregon playing Notre Dame in the national championship. I would say the best offense in the playoff versus the best defense in the playoff. I think what it all comes down to is whether it's, like you said, Dan Lanning versus James Franklin or Dan Lanning versus Marcus Freeman. Who am I going to trust more? Who has a coaching pedigree in the past where they've been to those big time games and won championships? Mm. There's only one guy, Dan Lanning, when he was at Georgia before he came to Oregon. I just trust him more. I trust that offense so much more. It's like beating a dead horse, but they have too many weapons on offense, or they hurt you, and it's so hard to scheme against. And I think it's at some point in that game, if it happens, I think Notre Dame will just break down and wear down and give up some big plays towards the end of the game, where they can't just hold up the run as much. And on the flip side, you know. That Notre Dame offense against Oregon.
That's what I was going to say. We talked about it earlier. In these games, especially if we're talking about the national championship, you want the better quarterback.
Right. Like, and I think Notre Dame could have some success running the football against Oregon, because Oregon can be leaky on that side of the ball. But I don't see Riley Leonard in a big game, you know, making big time plays and big throws. I think Oregon could probably just stack the box up on Love.
Right.
So I think I just, like I said, you said it's chalk, but I'm going to go with the best offense. I think the best offense wins all three games to win it all. And I think the Oregon Ducks were destined from game one to game whatever it is, 16 or 17, to win it all. And I think Dan Lanning shows why that culture and paying players, having one of the top five highest NIL payrolls in the entire country and getting all these guys to Oregon shows that paying right now for players, being aggressive with the transfer portal, getting the best athletes – wins you, the most experience wins you a national championship. And I think ultimately I trust Dan Lanning. So
I agree with you, Parker. So. I agree. We had different brackets throughout, but you know, we end up at the same conclusion. Real quick before we end this though, I want to just, you know, we both got the bracket up here.
Sure, sure.
I want to talk about alternatives.
Okay.
Because obviously, you know, as these, you know, we get to the semifinals, a lot of things can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want to talk about the fact that I don't think that anyone from the bottom side is going to win the national championship. I think it's going to be in Oregon. I think Ohio State can absolutely do it. And I think it's going to be Oregon, Ohio State, or Texas. I don't really see Penn State winning it. I don't really see Notre Dame winning it. Like you said, Georgia, if they don't get back, I don't see them winning it. So I'm going to go with, you know, that side of the bracket. Right, I think whoever comes out of that side, whoever comes out of the Cotton Bowl, is going to win. Now, if you had to pick a team other than Oregon, who do you think would win it on that side?
On that side of the bracket, yes. Because I that's so jumbled, I would have to say if they beat Oregon and they're going to go all the way, it'd be Ohio State.
Okay.
Because
I agree with you.
Because if they beat Tennessee and like we talk about, they get that little bit of confidence and they know they can play against Oregon and they can beat them, and they do end up beating them, and Ryan Day and Chip Kelly figure out that style of offense where they needed to get back to and outscore Oregon, I think at that point they can beat a Texas in the semifinals, and they can score a boatload of points, and they've got the second best defense in the playoff where they can stifle Texas, and if they get to that point where they're feeling great and you know, everything about Ryan Day and the fan base is, you know, all of is back on and you know, everything is feeling fine again, they can go on and make a run and win a championship. So I think it would be Ohio State out of any team.
I'm inclined to agree with you. I do worry about the Ohio State-Texas game. I worry about the Texas front against the Ohio State O-line.
Absolutely.
That's been questionable.
Yep.
I absolutely think Texas can get there if they play that game. But I'm inclined to agree that if Ohio State beats Oregon and they're in the Cotton Bowl, that they'll be ready to go for that one, and I think they get it done. But I think that Texas is absolutely – they're definitely capable of winning.
They are, and it all comes down to their offense and
right.
who and their quarterback play, and can they mix and match well enough. And I think going back to Ohio State, I think for them is they can beat Texas because they'll get through Tennessee's D-line.
Yeah.
So if they can do that, then they could definitely get through Tennessee or Texas. And, I mean, it's the Cotton Bowl. It's Ohio State indoors. You know, in the past, they've scored a lot of points.
Right.
So.
Right. But like I said, I really think the winner comes from that side of the bracket. Can Penn State win it? Yes. But, again, we go back to James Franklin in big game. Can Notre Dame win it? Yes, but, you know, Riley Leonard, question marks obviously. And then Georgia, obviously the big question mark with Beck.
Yeah.
Is Beck going to be back? If he does come back, I think it makes them the favorite on that side.
I 100% agree.
I think if Beck comes back, I think they honestly would, in my opinion, be the favorite to win it, just based on what I've seen in those games against Texas, in those big games this year, SEC Championship, them getting it done. There's just a lot more question marks on that side.
There is a lot of question marks.
And things really need to go right for teams on that side. So
I agree. There's more unprovens with Notre Dame not really being there.
Yeah.
When they get to the playoff, they kind of falter. And same thing with Penn State in big games. Georgia without their quarterback is a big question. So, yeah, I agree. I think if Beck does come back, they're definitely the second favorite in the entire playoff next to Oregon to win it all. And then I would say they're definitely the favorite out of that side of the bracket to get to the championship game, 100%. No question.
Going to be fun, Parker. Going to be fun, and I thank you for being here, as always.
Thank you, Theo.
Fantastic episode. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching wherever you're consuming this, obviously. Good luck to everyone with bets. And whatever else you have on these games, and I know you're just as excited as us to watch these. So enjoy first year of the 12-team playoff, and I guess we're going to see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you in the next one. Peace.